As Halloween approaches, we'll be seeing more of the creepy and unusual, and hope it's all in good fun. Years ago, the horror writer H.P. Lovecraft created a character whose very name creates issues for people. When you see C-T-H-U-L-H-U, how do you pronounce that? Cthulhu is where most people seem to settle. The story of Cthulhu comes to the stage in the near future in Ashland. But wait, there's more. The story is being done as a musical with puppets. The producing company is called Puppeteers for Fears. We are not making this up. And two of the representatives are in the studio with me. Beth Boulay is the director of The Call of Cthulhu. Welcome, Beth.
Hi, welcome. Hello.
And Brooke Sharp is here as well. She is the puppet maker. Welcome, Brooke.
Hello. Thank you.
So tell us about your adventures in performing, each of you. Let's start with you, Brooke.
Well, I am not a performer.
Your hand is, I guess.
I'm just the puppet maker. Mm-hmm. Fortunately, I don't have to do the performing because I'm not a performer. I've been making puppets for a little over a year now. Had never even thought about making a puppet until Josh Gross, who wrote the story, asked me to make puppets.
And Josh Gross is familiar to our audiences because he's done a musical segment for us a couple of times, and he is the author of The Funeral Papers,
yes.
An interesting book that he brought in with him about a month or two ago. Mm-hmm. So how did you get into puppet making, though? How did the whole thing start?
He told me that he had this idea for a puppet show, and he had a couple puppets, and he asked me if I was interested in making some more. So I took a look at the puppets that he had, and they were a little rough, needed some work. So I fixed them up and watched a Jim Henson tutorial on the internet, and then just took off from there.
Wow. So that's the puppet making part. And how long have you, Beth Boulay, been involved in theater type stuff?
I've been doing theater since middle school. My first show was Grease at Girl Scout camp. I was Kinnicky.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's some gender.
I mean, Girl Scout camp, you got to make do with what you got.
Oh, that's right, sure.
But high school, and I graduated from SOU here with a BFA in performance. But puppetry started for me. We did Avenue Q at SOU here, and the previous year they had Stephen Ritz-Barre come in to do a puppetry workshop. And when they sent the email out about that, like, who wants to be involved? I said, do I just email you right back right now to get into this? Because I want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, something about puppets especially, like, there's a great, it's just an awesome medium.
Is there something you can do? I mean, can you let a little more of your inner self out with a puppet than you can, perhaps, when you're in your own body on stage?
Definitely. It's a filter. I've heard somewhere that puppeteers are the most adjusted people in the world because they can say all the terrible things in their mind, but like in a safe environment, in a place where you know, fuzzy way. I mean, because you know it's not you personally saying it; it's the puppet saying it. It's the character in their situation right now, and it's not yours, but you came out of your mouth. But you can take a step back and say, "Okay, I know that that's wrong, and that's not me," or "I know that that's
blame
weird.
It on the puppet."
Kind of, yeah. You can exactly blame it on the puppet. The puppet made me do it. Exactly. Yeah.
Based on the psychology here, there are some people who probably should be made to wear puppets all the time, right?
It's true. It's true. I mean, I think it would help people communicate a lot better. I'm like, it's okay. You can say whatever you want. Just tell me something.
Have your puppet tell me what's really on your mind.
Right.
Mm-hmm. The Call of Cthulhu. Let's talk about Josh's creative process here and why in the first place he decided to take this. We figured, what, it's at least an 80-year-old H.P. Lovecraft story, isn't it?
At least 80, if not 90 years old now. We knew we were going to do another Halloween show, and I think Josh likes finding challenging things to write because The Call of Cthulhu doesn't really have an ending. It's a lot of build up and creating the environment and creating the creepy feeling of you know, the nightmares. It's very psychological, but also the metaphysical aspect of it. And then that keeps building and building and building, and then it doesn't really go anywhere. I keep thinking of equivocation from OSF when Shakespeare is trying to write Scottish play.
Oh, right.
He wrote the Scottish play, but it was supposed to...
We can send Macbeth in here. It's not a theater.
you know, I don't want to, like, step on toes. But he is supposed to be writing about the gunpowder plot, and in the same way, it's there's no explosion at the end, and there isn't an explosion in the Call of Cthulhu, but we make one. basically.
Okay, The Call of Cthulhu is the name of the play. It's a musical with puppets being done by the group Puppeteers for Fears. We have two of the reps with us here, Beth Boulay, who just heard, is the director. Brooke Sharp is the puppet maker. If you want to join us on the exchange, maybe you have some experience with the tales of Cthulhu from H.P. Lovecraft, join us at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So how long has Puppeteers for Fears existed?
Since October of last year was our first show.
Okay, and what was that show?
Oh, that was a three-part Halloween extravaganza. We had The Mummy's Purse.
Hair Down There.
Hair Down There. And that was a werewolf show. And, Ritual Murder the Musical. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that one.
Yep. Okay, all fine, uplifting things.
That's Josh Gross for you.
Uh-huh. So who came up with it? Did Josh come up with the excellent name, Puppeteers for Fears?
I think it was actually his partner, Aubrey mm-hmm. Hollingstead, who does all our graphic design.
Mm-hmm. So talk about the group. How many people are in it? And is it just a Halloween thing for the moment? I mean, have you done other things, Easter plays or something?
We had a spring show. We did Cattle Mutilation, the musical. Pastoral, you know. But Halloween kind of fit easily. When Josh approached me like last September, it was close to Halloween, and it's you know, the creepy puppet show is a good Halloween draw. So mm-hmm. for now, we're doing about three shows a year, but we'll see if we want to extend that.
So did the idea of doing it as a considering how musical Josh is, I guess that it's not surprising that it's probably started as a musical. Was it always going to be a puppet musical, or was there some talk of something
mm-hmm.
other than that?
Mm-hmm. I mean, he started his things in Boise with mm-hmm. the puppets.
Yep.
So how difficult is it to make the puppets for a horror story? And Cthulhu, is it a him, a her? Is it itself, I guess we'll say? Is it
Cthulhu is... part man, dragon, and octopus. So he's a masculine character, mm-hmm. definitely. It's been surprisingly easy for me to... I've just been an artist my whole life, and creating things just comes really naturally for me. So I was a little scared, honestly, to start the puppet. The character is, his name is Bert, but he is a Shoggoth uh-huh. From the story, and he's covered in eyeballs, and he's seepy and oozy, and I was not sure how to create that puppet. So
do you have little pumps for this character to let some of the ooze out, or did you just sort of suggest ooziness?
I was gonna just except that he didn't have any oozing parts because I didn't know how to do that with fleece. But my fantastically creative mama came walking through the kitchen as I was crafting, and I mentioned needing mucousy, drooly stuff, and she was like, silicone. And she just walked through the kitchen and left me with that thought, and I was like, awesome. So we went down to the hardware store and got a tube of silicone, and that's how we created the ooziness of Bert.
It looks great.
So, yeah.
I feel the need to tell the audience again, we are talking about a puppet show, a play, a musical based on the work of H.P. Lovecraft called The Call of Cthulhu. Josh Gross wrote the script and the music, and Beth Boulay is directing it. Brooke Sharp, you just heard, is a puppet maker. So when we're talking about mucus and oozing and stuff, it's not for actual living creatures, but for representing these things on stage. So do you find lots of people who actually know the story of Cthulhu? As you were getting into the studio, we were visiting before the mics went on, I was explaining, I'd seen the name for years and had never known, A, how to pronounce it, B, what it was about.
Mostly I find people that know Cthulhu, I mean, I know like metalheads that know Cthulhu for various reasons of their own, but I didn't know the story specifically before, certainly.
Yeah, I've never heard of it or H.P. Lovecraft, but as soon as I've mentioned the author's name, it seems like a lot of people are familiar with that writer and the story, so it's a mixed bag. A lot of people are like, huh, and then there's a lot of people that know all about it.
So. Oh, yeah. So some people are like, wow, you're doing a play on Cthulhu. And others are like, "What? How do you even pronounce this?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How many different variations of the pronunciation have you heard? In fact, how many have come out of your own mouth in the last, say, 2 years?
At least two or three.
Mm-hmm.
Including the guttural Cthulhu.
I saw that description myself on the internet, that because Cthulhu is not human, the pronunciation comes from a non-human language.
Mm-hmm,
so it has
mm-hmm.
to start with a guttural like Cthulhu. So that is C-T-H-U-L-H-U, Cthulhu. And again, it is called The Call of Cthulhu. What's the basic storyline here? What's the driving plot of The Call of Cthulhu?
Well, Francine Thurston is a professor of archaeology at Miskatonic University, and Detective John LaGrasse joins her to figure out this mystery. Her uncle, Francine's uncle, has disappeared to find this island, so that's how she knows about this situation, this horrible nightmare situation. And LaGrasse has come across this ritual burning sacrifice craziness, and so he comes to her to help, and they go off and find it, basically.
So, not a comedy, you're saying?
Oh, I wouldn't say that. I mean it's a musical, so there's and they're puppets.
Right, but the original story was not meant to be.
In the original story, it's just Francis Thurston instead of Francine. We've modified it a little bit. We've added, instead of one main character figuring this all out, so we can have some more dialogue, instead of one person just talking to the audience the whole time. We've created a male and female protagonist team, so we can have a romantic comedy.
Right.
Hooray!
So, what are the songs like? I mean, if it's a romantic comedy now about horrible things or the quest for something horrible.
Josh's style is usually kind of surfer rock.
Uh-huh.
Upbeat, bouncy. And then there's some metal implements there. Our Cthulhu, we've kind of figured he's kind of a rock and roll star of the monster world. So he's definitely a kind of glam metal guy.
So how do you represent particularly the human characters as puppets? I mean, how caricaturish do you get? I mean, or are they pretty serious looking?
I've always been a fan of kind of goofy faces and, you know, more caricature-like than realistic.
And are we talking marionettes or Muppet-style Muppet?
Muppet-style.
Hand and rod.
Okay,
yeah.
Hand and rod. Hand so you're working the hands with the rod. And
yeah.
Okay. So, and then, I mean, is this done like Puppet in a Box thing, or is it done like Avenue Q, where you have the actor and the puppet together?
We have a puppet house that was created by my husband, Will Shapiro. He's in the band for Puppeteers for Fears. So the actors, the puppeteers are behind the house.
Wow. So that sounds like a bit of a crowd then in the puppet theater.
Yeah.
Yep. That's why we rehearse.
So for you as a director then, I mean, you're trying to get work out of the people who are representing characters. They're acting, but their voices are seen and their hands as their voices are heard. Sorry. Yeah. But they are not seen themselves. So they have to. That's some interesting stuff for an actor, first of all, but probably more so for a director, because you're trying to get them to express themselves in ways they don't necessarily even see where their own hands are going. Do they?
Yeah. In more professional puppetry, I would say perhaps there's monitors involved, so the puppeteers can see themselves the whole time. We're not quite that technologically advanced yet.
It makes us more advanced.
Well, I mean, it's more of a challenge. It makes us work harder, I think, a little bit, but that's okay. That's okay with me. It's the same thing. The motivations that drive a puppet, they're still a character. So talking to an actor in terms of motivation is easy in that sense. That's the same as you would normally, but the difference is how do you express it? And puppets, like, you can't do a subtle, like, a puppet can't raise their eyebrow unless they have the mechanism
but
to do so.
I'm working on that. Really? Okay.
right.
Moving eyebrow. But you can do the surprised mouth, right?
There's a surprised mouth, but like the surprised mouth can be happy or upset, but it's where you put the rest of your body or how you, you know, There's little things like that. There's kind of it's a different sort of language. It's a different body language with a puppet.
Okay, so where some actors are going to come off the stage on a show where they're acting as humans, they're gonna they're gonna come off the stage potentially with sore knees and hips and things like that.
Right.
Here you're gonna wear out your elbow and your wrist.
Oh, it's and your forearm. that's one in your shoulders. We've got Tiger Balm back in the
so
house.
So cramping behind the scenes.
Oh yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Last show and one before that I performed in also and. You get sore and sweaty, but it's a rush, and the adrenaline keeps you going, and it's great.
So the Call of Cthulhu is going to be at Oberon's, the musical, the tavern rather in downtown Ashland, and I see looks like you're doing in Yreka and Medford as well, and later appearances.
Mm-hmm. The Yreka Music Hall on that first Friday in November, and the Randall Theater on Saturday and Sunday that first weekend also.
How long a show is it? I mean, I'm looking at like something like 12 songs in here, so it's not a terribly short show.
It's a 2-hour runtime, including intermission. Yep.
And was it the kind of thing when you guys talked about this at the beginning, you went, oh boy, how are we going to do this as puppets and music? But how has it come together?
It's come together great. I mean, that's what we set out to do, so we kind of knew what we were getting ourselves into. I knew that my job was to make sure that the motivations were there and that the through line gets all the way there and all that stuff. So this summer when I was working on it, I was all bogged down in these really depressing themes of, you know, fear of the unknown and metaphysical blah, you know, scariness. And then the puppets come in and the actors come in with the voices and we did auditions like, oh my god, hooray. It's so fun to do. So
all right, Cthulhu the Musical showing at Oberon's Three Penny Tavern in Ashland starting October 14th. That's tonight. And then showing at the Music Hall in Yreka Friday, November 4th, Randall Theater in Medford, November 5th and 6th. Beth Boulay and Brooke Sharp from Puppeteers for Fears, thanks for joining us on The Exchange.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.